Stay healthy with the top health specialist in New York with Joan Hamburg, live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Welcome to the Joan Hamburg Show, and we love sports, right? But a couple of things have come up in the world of sports. In fact, this is not new, but parents are questioning, should their children play contact sports, football, soccer? And when you hear that a 24-year-old, a really good football player, Chris Borland from the San Francisco 49ers, says at 24 years old the guy's going to retire because of the head injury story. And this is going through that entire sports industry. Are these sports safe? What can be done about it? Well, I want to introduce you to a PhD, Dr. Douglas Kasser, who has devoted his grown-up life to answering these questions and finding answers to all these things that can really kill. We're not taking them lightly. And Dr. Kasser was speaking at the Collaborative Solutions for Safety in Sports. Welcome to you, Dr. Kasser.
Thank you very much for having me, Joan.
Now, you know, every parent of young kids or sports kids from high school, let alone college, really raise questions. It was a story not that long ago where they showed parents who were sending their kids away at 10, 11 years old, if they were gifted kids in football, to go live like they did with ice skaters. What's going on with this? And is there a way to make these sports safer?
Oh, those are two big questions. We're going to have to tease those out separately. Those are really important things to consider. Can we make sports safer? Your second question?
Yeah.
The answer is absolutely yes to that question. There's a real few basic things that we know that can make sports safer. Probably the biggest thing at the high school level across America, and an important constituent when you consider that's where the greatest number of athletes are in our country, is the high school sports setting. We need to make sure that every high school in America has an athletic trainer. The athletic trainer is the medical professional that's specifically trained to prevent, recognize, and treat athletic injuries. And if there's ever emergencies, they are the key person. Because when we have an emergencies in sport, it's really what you do in the first 5 to 10 minutes that will dictate if the athlete lives or dies. So whether it be a head injury or cardiac or a heat stroke, you can't depend on the coaches, obviously, because they're not trained in that. And you can't wait for them to get to the emergency room because it'll be too late by that point. So the first most important thing is to make sure every high school has an athletic trainer. So we're making a lot of progress in that particular area.
Now, you know, we all know, or at least we think we know, about head-related injuries and what happens to these football players and even soccer players later on in life when they're dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia and other things. We don't think as much about heat-related illnesses that could lead to everything from cardiac arrest on.
Yeah, and there's no question. Yeah, I mean, in the summertime in America, the greatest risk of a child having a serious issue in sport is related to exertional heat stroke. Players getting too hot because they're not either conditioned properly by their coaches, or, you know, they're not doing things that make sense. They're not cared for properly. It's not recognized quickly. It's not treated properly on site. See, the thing is, like, with heat stroke is a great example. Heat stroke is 100% survivable if it's treated properly after it happens. But yet in most of, like, the high school settings, if you don't have an athletic trainer there, the coaches have no idea what to do. And the EMT and EMS largely don't know what to do when it comes to exertional heat stroke. So you lose this huge gap of time, because with heat stroke, like, just as an example, you have to get their temp down within 30 minutes. So that's why the right when it happens is such an important time. So it's 100% survival when treated correctly. So that's why it's such a tragedy when we lose someone from a condition like this, just because we don't have the proper people in place to take care of them. Now, thankfully, you know, most of the high schools in America have athletic trainers, but we still got a distance to go to make sure all of them do.
So a parent, and is it a parent's obligation if her child is involved in a sport, really playing a vigorous sport, to ask these kind of questions? Do you have that kind of personnel in place? Do you have defibrillators? What should a parent do?
Absolutely, yeah. That's the definitely the role of the parents, either through the school board or talking with their athletic director at their high school or the principal or the superintendent, whoever they need to get in touch with. I mean, is there an AED, like you just mentioned, at you know, convenient locations? The leading cause of death in sport is cardiac conditions. But once again, this is another condition that's almost completely survivable if you get an AED on someone within a couple minutes. So they need to be around the sports fields. They need to be around the gymnasiums. They have to be accessible. You can't wait for the ambulance to come for the AED. But the parents also have to make sure there's an athletic trainer there. I mean, if there's an athletic trainer at their school or you're playing football or soccer games or practices, their kids shouldn't be at the practice. They shouldn't have their kids practice. So the risk is too high if you don't have proper medical staff there at the high school level.
And Dr. Casa, cardiac issues, are they because of heat stroke or related things, or are they because they're not detected?
Okay, that's a good question. Yeah, so most cardiac issues that happen in sport are because someone has like an underlying genetic condition that had not been
picked up,
known about or identified earlier. But some cardiac problems are actually the result of overexertion or not properly training or taking proper breaks or going too hard in the heat. So there's no question smart training, smart like, for instance, work to rest ratios and phasing in activity, something we call acclimatization, like heat acclimatization, that can reduce the risk of heat stroke deaths, but also reduce the incidence of cardiac issues and other serious issues.
Now, when you were a kid yourself, you suffered a serious problem. You were running a race, I read, and you had heat stroke.
I did, yes. Actually competing in the Empire State Games as a 16-year-old in Buffalo, New York, which is kind of that state kind of Olympic competition they have for high school kids. And on the very final lap, a 25-lap race on the track, on the final lap, I collapsed, got back up, and then I collapsed again right before the finish line. Thankfully, I had amazing medical care on site by the athletic trainers and the EMT, EMS, and the physicians and nurses, and was able to survive that incident. But it's a great example, though, that particular race. They decided to schedule my race at noontime in the middle of the day, a 10K race in the middle of a heat wave in the middle of the summer. Yeah, when you could have easily had that race at 6, 7, or 8 o'clock at night under the lights and not be, you know, in that direct, you know, horrendous heat. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned in these circumstances. It's just, are these heated, you know, by other people to try to prevent future problems?
Now, let's switch hats for a minute. I'm talking to Douglas Kayser, PhD, who was speaking at the Collaborative Solutions for Safety in Sports, and one of the major figures in this area, whether it be heat stroke or any serious ailment. With more and more young kids engaging in sports and a lot of aggressive parents, if they think the kid has talent, really going overboard. Should young kids be playing football or being sent away to these special trainers to live, to hone their games? How dangerous? Would you let your kid play football?
I absolutely would let my kid play football.
You would?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, when you look at the numbers, the incidence of head injuries is the same in soccer as it is in football and a lot of other contact sports. We have to recognize there's risk. We just can't be naive that it's only football that causes these risks. I mean, it could be ice hockey or soccer or lacrosse.
Right.
But we have to make sure that we're doing the smart things. Like, if, for instance, football is an example. We should never have kids playing youth football if their coaches are not, for instance, like USA Football certified, where it's a very specific training course. The coaches are taught how to teach the kids how to tackle, how to receive a tackle, how to take the head out of the game of football. You don't have to have the head involved in the game of football. It does not have to be involved with tackling. A great example is rugby. Rugby, they have no equipment on and have a much lower incidence of injuries.
Why?
Because they don't use the head. They use their shoulders and their body and their arms to make the tackles, and they take the head out of the sport.
Can you do that in football?
Absolutely. Football, if we just need to impose major penalties. Anytime you tackle with your head or you're leading with your head, like you toss that, and the behavior will end in one season. I mean, you think of like the NHL. The NHL still allows fighting. Like, I mean, could you think of anything more antiquated?
No.
To set a horrible example
Ridiculous.
For our youth, that they allow fighting in that sport. I mean, so the leadership has to sometimes do a lot more to lead in this area. But when it comes to youth football, if we teach the right things, we can make the sport safe, just like we can do in a lot of other sports.
What about boxing?
Boxing is that's one sport I probably would not have my kid do.
Right.
Because, depending on... you know, you could say similar risks associated with things like Taekwondo or other, martial arts kinds of things. But, you know, you could potentially probably do those sports without the head having to be involved, and you could have other points areas on the body, you know, just in the chest region, that could make them safer. So, I mean, it's just such a tough situation. We want to encourage our kids to be active and learn all the wonderful benefits of physical activity and competition and teamwork and working towards a goal and getting better at something. We have to recognize there are going to be risks when we put our kids out there. I mean, we can't be naive. Gymnastics could have the same injuries as football. You could have a neck injury or a head injury, serious, you know, orthopedic injuries. And you can pick almost any sport out, and there's very serious possibilities. I mean, but so the thing is, do we have all the things in place to keep our kids safe? Do we have the right rules and policies in place? So I gave you the example with football. All levels of football should have much more stringent policies in place that anytime the person uses the head. I mean, do we have the right medical staff there? Is there an athletic trainer on site at the high schools? I mean, we have them at all colleges and pro teams, but they should be at all high schools. Do we have the right, you know, equipment there, like immersion tubs for heat stroke? Heat stroke is survivable if you get someone's temp down right away. So a $150 tub filled with ice and water. Why do not all 50 states have that? I mean, some states require it, like Georgia and Arkansas. But something as simple as that, your kid could be lost because of a $150 tub not being there.
Wow.
Simple things. And another example is the AEDs that you brought up. There are $1,000 when you buy them in bulk, like from a school, if you bought four or five of them. And they're almost safe in almost all situations. I mean, so that's incredible when you think $1,000 could provide a save. I mean, and, you know, inevitably the teachers could benefit from it too, and just other kids in the school, spectators at games. So it's not even just the athletes. The whole community benefits when the AED is there.
I'm talking to Dr. Douglas Casa, who was speaking at the Collaborative Solutions for Safety in Sports, one of the leading researchers in this area, a book, Preventing Sudden Death in Sport and Physical Activity. And these are all things that can be taken care of and can be changed. Thank you very much, Dr. Casa.
It's a pleasure to be on. Thank you so much, Joan.
I'm Joan Hamburg for WABC. More after this.